You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
And we're back up in this bitch.
Back up in this bitch with the resurrection.
I don't know if that's how it goes, but we'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's episode 74?
Yeah, 74 of Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Ian, Kevin, Ryan the Beard here.
Hello.
Yo, yo.
And, what t-shirts are we wearing? Let's do a t-shirt little review here.
All right, what do you got, Ryan?
I'm rocking an Angel Witch t-shirt.
That's like
that's
a rad
shirt.
You're an Angel Witch.
It's got to be a reproduction, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, well, it's original.
It's super new looking.
Yeah, it was a birthday present from the girlfriend, and I'm pretty stoked about it because I really like that record. That
cool.
Band rules.
I'm Kevin? Wearing a t-shirt. It's called, it's a Super Kick Party. It's this tag team called the Young Bucks. They're basically this awesome tag team that wrestles in the indie scene, and their whole gimmick is they pretend to be just like super 90s wrestling fans, so they do the whole suck it, too sweet, they just go suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, they do the super kicks all the time. They dress like the Hardy Boys, so they're just like, their gimmick is their fanboys.
Their gimmick is that they're
like internet wrestling nerds, yeah.
Right on, cool.
And what about you?
I'm wearing a Violation crew neck, and then underneath is my Bongzilla shirt.
Ooh. Local popular shirt.
Local number 666, the International Brotherhood of Bongloaders.
Bongzilla. Righteous.
Cool shirt. Anyway, what do you guys been up to this week?
Ryan?
Let's see. I went to a show. I can't remember which. Oh, yeah, I went to go see Thou and the Body.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
That's heavy.
Didn't you say they covered Marilyn Manson?
They
which song?
They started the Hate Anthem.
Sweet.
They started the set off with Hate Anthem, and they made that song heavier than it.
I bet.
It's awesome. And then they ended their set with a cover of The Chain by
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, by Fleetwood Mac.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It was heavy as hell.
Thou and the Body doing a collaboration set. That's really
the rest
sweet.
Of the set was really, really awesome. A part of me
It was loud as balls.
Oh, yeah. It was insanely loud. A part of me was a little bummed out because I've never gotten to see Thou before.
And
I didn't know it was going to be a collaboration set. So I was kind of really looking forward to just some slow, stony doom from Thou. And but what I got was really intense beat your ass sludge from the combined
the collaboration.
Set.
Sweet.
Yeah, which was awesome. So
beat your ass sludge.
Yeah, pretty stoked on that. And then
ass beating sludge.
Gwar and Ghost was awesome.
Yeah,
as well.
Yes.
That was a fun time.
Absolutely. We had Ghost in studio on in the KISW studio doing an acoustic set. It was very, very rare thing, and it was cool. There was only like about 10 people here, KSW staff only, and we have it up on KSW.com. On the Metal Shop Facebook, we have a link to it. You can check it out. Really cool. It's really well done, professionally shot, and sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I did see on Blabbermouth this week that they did it at another radio station.
Motherfucker!
Yeah, I know.
Cheating.
Somewhere else. And somebody else beat us to
ours
blabbermouth.
Cooler.
It is, and it nice. Sounds better. So
right
on. What about you, Kevin?
Well, I also saw Gwar, and Tuesday, honestly, was one of the best days I've had in a long time. I took the whole day off my day job, and it was awesome meeting all of Ghost, seeing them do the acoustic set, and then going to hang out with Steve Rock. I got the best chicken katsu curry from Wajamaya. It was
nice.
So bomb.
That sounds great.
And yeah, it was cool, man. Last night, or I actually saw Dev Heaven the night after that. It was okay. And Ryan and I kind of agree, like the band is sweet. They sound great, but the band's vibe.
It's
kind
bummer.
Of douchey.
Yeah.
They look like H&M models flailing around.
Yeah, they always
playing
have.
Black metal.
Totally.
A friend of mine described them. He said, you know, everybody kind of craps on Def Heaven Live and talks about how douchey they are, but they get hipsters in the mosh pit kicking the shit out of each other, which is kind of an awesome thing if you think about it.
And then last night I saw the new Goosebumps movie, which I knew I thought was going to be super cheesy, and it was, but it was also fun. It was really entertaining.
Was it like good cheesy?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was Jack
Black.
Do
you like Jumanji?
Right?
You like the movie Jumanji?
Yeah, I like it for what it is, yeah.
If you like the movie Jumanji, you will enjoy the Goosebumps movie.
Okay.
Do you like Night at the Museum?
So it's like that kind of campy...
Kind of, yeah.
Special effects.
Yeah. It's for kids, but it's rad.
I had, like, that series got me into reading.
Oh, cool.
Like, I always read before that, but I have 1 through 100 of the original Goosebumps set.
In my elementary school... Goosebumps books were banned as book reports because my teacher said that they're not good literature and he churns out books so fast that it's like a magazine.
Yeah, basically, he's right.
But
He's like,
I was
just
bummed.
Throwing a.
So I went for Fear Street.
Throwing story.
The adult. The real hardcore R.L. Stine. And what about you, Ian? How was your week?
Good, man. I went to Gwar and saw the ghost thing, too. I think we made the right choice in going to Gwar.
Yeah.
Ryan, did you get into that?
Yeah. We went up to Ghost for a little bit.
Their show, Elkhorn, was beyond sold out.
Yeah. And I don't think we would have been able to get into the room if I hadn't known anybody there.
Okay.
Clay was nice enough to kind of let us slip in the back door by the sidebar so that we could, you know, walk right in, you know, have somewhere to stand.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird because the sidebar in that whole half of the stage, there's plenty of room to stand and hang out and like move around
and
stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
But everybody was just kind of congregated and, you know, squished
in. That's so weird.
By the door. And
that has a lot to do, I think, with new band rising star phenomena kind of shit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Where people are just like, I need to be in front.
Well, it wasn't people in the front of the stage. They were all on the right side of the venue where the front door is.
Oh.
So everybody's crammed in like sardines from the pole over.
They wanted to be close to the door because it was hot as balls.
I can explain to you why, and this will make a lot of sense to you in certain ways. So we were talking to the dude from Ghost who was saying that they were having equipment problems. Their van broke down on their way here, so they didn't have all their stuff when they got here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any of their gear until like 8:30.
Yeah.
Damn.
At that show. And here's the thing is that they didn't want to have it back. They didn't want the other band to set their stuff up without having a backline. So what they did is the other band that was on tour with them, they pushed them over to the Fun House.
Mm-hmm.
So the opening band with a sold out ghost size crowd all trying to cram into the lounge to see the first band, which from then on created, as people filled up the rest of the room, that huge bottleneck in that little corridor between the bar, or which is now the Fun House, and the main room. And it just stayed like that the entire time. And I heard about this from a couple of the people that worked there. The bartenders were pissed because nobody could get to the bar.
Yeah.
Because it was just like nuts to butts in there. Anyway, the bottom line is, I'm glad we went to Gwar.
Yeah.
Instead of Ghost.
You know,
I would just walk in and go, nope.
I found it really interesting. I was talking to some of the guys down at El Corazon, and they were talking about Ghost gear. Because normally, you know, if a trailer's running behind, you know, the headliner band can just be like, yo, let me just borrow your cab and a head.
Right.
And, you know, we'll make this work.
Not the same.
Everything that Ghost has, there's no amps involved. It's all through the board and rack mount gear. Like, it's all just it's all plugged directly in.
Shingo does it too.
So they need their stuff.
Yeah, and that's why they're so beyond screwed if they don't have all their own stuff. You know, it's not like just plug a pedal board into any amp, you got your distortion pedal and it sounds great. And that's kind of like the go-to standard thing for a lot of touring bands is they'll have their amp head, but they have some kind of distortion pedal that they know that they're
happy
with. That's
their tone that makes it sound like their band.
Yeah, exactly. And they can dial in a pretty decent tone out of just about any rig because they have that just in case. And if you're a band that doesn't have pedal boards or a standard amp, you're kind of screwed if you don't have your stuff. Like, you can't really make it happen.
I guess we should have prefaced this by mentioning that three of the members of Ghost flew from their last show before Seattle to Seattle to play at KISW acoustically. So the majority of the band was here, but none of their gear was here.
Yeah.
So just getting that out there.
Yeah.
That was a cool day. Gwar was great. Last night, I went to the Neptune Theater to see Garfunkel and Oates.
Dude, how was that?
The two comedians.
Was that cool?
The two lady comedians.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
I've never heard of that.
They are great. And that shit is so raunchy, dude.
Dude,
they're talking about anal sex, hand jobs. And basically what their deal is that one of the girls plays ukulele, the other girl plays acoustic guitar, and they sing. It's like Tenacious D,
okay,
but funny and about like sex and relationships and stuff like that. And they killed it. And they were filming a special in Seattle, too, so that'll be coming out.
That's
at
awesome.
Some point.
That the dark-haired girl that plays the ukulele on Scrubs, she was effing hilarious. It's the same girl that was on Scrubs.
And she's got this like weird, like, she's super fucking cute. And I can't figure out why.
Yeah.
It's like she's
adorable.
Just like, she's
I think it's the big
cute.
Eyes. I think it's a big eyes.
Those big doe eyes.
Yeah, man. She is cute. And like, have you seen her solo stand-up stuff?
No.
It's hilarious. Like, it's raunchier than the stuff that she does. It's great. It's really messed up.
And they were on point, dude. They were singing songs about, like, things dudes do in relationships, and I was just like, yep, just taking them off the list. Things girls do when they break up with guys. Just like, I don't know, talking about not knowing how to give out hand jobs. Like,
kind of like a call-out set. Yeah.
It was great.
Sweet.
So if you get a chance, check that out. Other than that, I unofficially, like, I went to sign papers to become a homeowner.
Cool.
Very cool.
So that's rad. And then I knocked a fucking wall out in my basement.
Did that get some aggression out?
Not as much as I'd like.
Were you drunk or was it intentional?
No, it was too early in the morning. Like, I had to make sure that I had my wits about me. Otherwise, I would have, like, sledgehammered my fucking leg off.
So it was an intentional wall breaking. It wasn't just drunk and Ian just
I wasn't just, like, spin-kicking holes. Just,
this roof is so heavy.
This is my house now. Push. Like, one of our co-workers put his head through the wall.
Nice.
We won't say who, in case he listens to this.
So next week is Halloween, and I want to put down the challenge, guys. And I'm not saying put a ton of effort and spend a lot of money on a costume.
Crap.
But come up with something. Because 2 years ago, Ryan came to my Halloween party with a f***ing Green Lantern ring on. It was like, I'm the f***ing Green Lantern. Everyone else was in costume, having a good time, putting a lot of effort into
it. Did you hear what he said his costume this year was going to be? He was just going to show up and say that he was a starving musician.
No, I just said, I'm a dude at work.
Yeah. What?
Well, no. I came up with a really, really good one. I think this year, I'm just going to get some like gray streaking to put in my beard and get a bunch of rings to go on my fingers, just wear my hat and like a hardcore t-shirt, and I'll just go as John Pettibone.
That's actually pretty good. I like it.
But you got to swoop your hair down, too.
Yeah.
You got to be like 2004 mixed with 2015 John Pettibone.
Dude, that's awesome.
You got to send him a picture.
I'm Time Warp Pettibone.
Just take your glasses off with the beard, put some gray in it, wear like an Integrity t-shirt like a tuft coat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
with
man.
Some patches on it.
I was thinking like
Carhartt pants.
At this point with my hair, it's not black, but I could probably pull off Fat Old Man Danzig.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But then I'd have to shave my beard off, and I literally haven't done that in like 5 years.
I think you'd pull a good Undertaker.
That's true. I could probably
be the Undertaker. I'm going to be a wrestler. I'm going to be the luchador La Parka with the skeleton.
You're just
going
to wear a mask.
No. I have the full skeleton suit. I'm picking up the full skeleton suit. I ordered it on Amazon. I have the mask already, so that's, you know, already a little bit, but I'm spending a little bit of money on that fucking all over, like what is it? What do they call that? Like, fucking, it's spandex. I'm going to be wearing a full spandex skeleton
suit.
Bone suit. So, and I'm going to be carrying around a steel chair.
There you go. You should use it.
Yeah.
Just not on me. One of these years.
Why'd you look at me? That's so cool.
He's like, well, the only other target in here.
I'm going to stay in the fart
guys,
box, man.
I do some really good corpse paint if you want me to corpse paint you up.
That's true. One of these years, I want to buy like a legit Darth Vader suit. Like a real one.
Yeah.
Like spend a few $100 on it and get like all the pieces and like the helmet and shit.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things like if you spend money on a Halloween costume, the idea is that you're going to have it, right?
Yeah.
For the next year or for anything else you want to do. Or you can sell it or trade it or let somebody else borrow it or whatever. Speaking of which, anybody got any costumes that I can borrow?
This is the year to do it, bro. I went to Walmart last night. Not to give them a plug, but I did. I went there last night. They have f***ing Star Wars everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
If you're going to do it, you should do it this year because it's so accessible.
But
to
I
want
to go to like Champion and get like $600 like real Darth Vader suit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like a legit like Stormtrooper, like the armor.
Dude, a Stormtrooper suit would be so badass, especially what you could do. You could be a heavy metal Stormtrooper. Get the Stormtrooper armor and just, like, cover it in sick band logos. Not, like, crappy stickers,
or, like,
studs,
actually
paint them on there
studs.
And shit. Yeah.
Or just be a fucking Stormtrooper. Anyway,
or
I don't
hot
know.
Dog. A hot dog. I like those weird random costumes, like a candy corn or a hot dog.
Or like
a piece
I saw,
of bacon.
Dude,
I saw sexy potato.
Nice.
I saw somebody was a hashtag.
Preacher with a boner is always f***ed up.
Yeah. Or like those gigantic fake tits.
I love the dudes that go as Jesus and just walk around just like, hey, have you read my book?
Nice.
That year we did Jay and Silent Bob, and I almost made it through the night being totally fucking silent.
That was awesome.
And then I had like 9 beers in me and just like started talking.
That was great.
Handing out joints, Scooby snacks. Good times. Anyway, let's get into some news. Cool. Enough of us. Let's talk about things that don't matter but do. Dream Theater in the news this week, and they've come out with like this weird campaign. People are comparing it to like an fantasy RPG reference, and they want you to choose one of two sides. It said, the path will soon divide. Choose wisely. And you can choose from the Great Northern Empire or the Ravenskill Rebel Militia. Whatever that means.
And, both these logos look like something out of Warcraft.
Yeah, choose at dreamtheater.net. Are they like launching their own video game?
Like, it's not even modern Warcraft. It looks like late 90s, early 2000s Warcraft. Logos.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, and it's really shitty.
Yeah, these look like crap, and like the font looks like
that's
some
awful.
High school kid made it.
That looks like Descent, or what? Fucking...
Yeah, like God. Virtual Boy.
That's like the wow,
it's like straight out of 1997.
That's awesome. Doom.
Just like Dream Theater,
straight up Doom. Wow. All right, good times.
So something that isn't cheesy, Hate Eternal is gearing up for a North American tour, which is awesome because that band's always really rad to see live. Looks like they're going to be coming to Seattle at Studio 7 on November 11th. I'm pretty excited to see this show. It's going to be Hate Eternal, Misery Index, and Beyond Creation and with Rivers of Nil opening up. Misery Index and Beyond Creation are not to be effed with. Both of those bands kick a lot of ass, and seeing them open for Hate Eternal, that show's going to crush.
I just want to see Eric Rutan punch a dude again.
Throw a bottle of water at him, and it could be you.
F*** you! Well, dude, if you're paying that much for guitars, you'd be pissed if somebody tried to f*** with
your instrument.
Hey,
I don't need
too.
You to cool me down with water on my face.
I'm good, dude.
I bet you suck my fucking shoe.
Suck it. Good
suck
times.
That shoe. Suck it.
Metal Church is coming out with a yet untitled new release. It's going to have the vocalist Mike Howe, the original vocalist, to return. He returned in 2014, and this week they posted kind of a studio update, little interview thing, part one of what is, I'm sure, going to be a bit of a series here. So, yeah, details are yet to be announced, but the album is expected in 2016, and you can go to metalunderground.com, just search Metal Church, and you can check out that video.
Man, those...
Honestly, the riffs in here are kind of like, all right, whatever. It's just them trying to do it. But the thing that's cool about this particular video is that they filmed it in Aberdeen, mm-hmm. and they talk about, like, they're standing outside their old practice space, which is now like an abandoned, decrepit fucking building. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool if like you're an old school Metal Church fan, hear them talking about where they came from and et cetera.
Well, the singer's getting into it, and I mean...
Dude, he was super into it. Yeah, like, they're filming him doing his vocal tracks.
Yeah, and the riffs are as... I didn't think the riffs were half bad for that kind of stuff. I mean, the guys obviously still have it together and they're locked in. You know, it's not...
Yeah, they know
awful.
How to play their instruments.
Yeah, yeah. No shots of the bass.
Yep, just guitars on this one.
I like it.
Let's see here. Extreme Noise Terror is back, one of the OG
Sick.
Grind bands from the UK, Crust and Grindcore. They got a new record coming out November 5th on Willow Tip Records.
Can we play a snippet of this?
Yeah, let's play a little bit of the fucking song's only a minute and a half.
I can smell it from here. If you're listening to this at work, that woke you up. Better than coffee.
So yeah, Extreme Noise Terror is back in their original form.
Awesome.
Probably a little bit more well-known band within the metal genre. Anthrax has premiered a new song, their first in 4 years, and it's their new album, Evil Tour. Actually, I don't know what the new album's going to be called.
Yeah, it doesn't have a title yet.
But it's going to be in 2016, coming out on Megaforce. The song is called Evil Twin, and we'll play some of it right now. It's new Anthrax.
I'm skipping like 2 minutes in. As Ryan said, for the guitar players out there, you know that's a right-handed band. Right hand heavy. Lots of chuggity, chuggity, chuggity.
Man, Anthrax rhythms have always been on point. Those guys just know what's
oh,
up.
Oh, there's the lead. Oh, sh**. Cool, you get the point.
I feel like they're pretty out of touch, man. There's no, like, dubstep drops.
Yeah, they're no algorithm.
Come on.
So, speaking of out of touch, Dave Mustaine slammed his guitar tech that he fired.
What the kind of guy does this kind of in the first place?
Yeah, foot and mouth for good old Dave again.
Like, he took it upon himself to do a fucking selfie video about how he fired his tech, like, and proceeds to, you know, I'm just going to play this for you. It's short enough to just play.
You guys ever have an experience where you are in a like a clutch moment and you have somebody there that's like your wheel man and the guy just turns out to be a total fucking dewclaw, like a total waste of skin and life?
Jesus.
Well, that was my guitar tech tonight, and I fired his ass, and I apologize to the people here in Brisbane. You know, we'll make it up to you sometime. I mean, maybe it'll be in Hawaii when we luau this fat pig's ass, but I'll tell you what, you guys deserve way better than this jerk-off did tonight, and I'm sorry. Maybe that's much better than what we appeared tonight. But you know what the funny thing is? He has to live with himself, and as of, like, right now, I'll never see his stupid f***ing ass again.
What a nice guy. Dave living up to his reputation of being a nice dude.
So I kind of wanted to follow this this article with the
God damn it.
The Chris Adler thing.
Yes, yes. Thank you, because they are part and parcel. And the title of that article, if I read it right, is "People Like to Take Shots at Dave Because It's Easy to Take Shots at the King."
The King.
Yeah. And
hello, King, I'm the King.
I don't really know what to make of Adler's stance on this.
The second I saw that, I was just like, oh, shit, he's under the mind control of the Daves. Chris, no!
I don't know. I mean, Chris Adler has always been a really well-spoken dude. He's always been really great. In every interview that I've read with him, he's always been very straightforward. And so, you know, he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would, you know, just kind of kiss ass just to kiss ass. And he obviously doesn't have to, but, you know, he talks about how Dave isn't as bad of a dude as everybody kind of makes him out to be. And he does make a good point that it is easy to pick on the guy at the top, but at the same time...
Well, the guy at the top gets the most publicity, but if at the same time, if you're the guy at the top, you need to know you've got the most publicity, and you shouldn't do dumb shit in the heat of the moment like that. Clearly, he...
jerk off and fired his ass.
He clearly had just gotten off stage and picked up his phone and was immediately like,
I need to do a f***ing selfie here.
I need to make an excuse for why my band sucked tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. I'm going to not take responsibility for not being able to handle my own shit. I'm going to blame it on the guitar tech because and we're going to roast his ass in Hawaii.
Well, I kind of...
Dude, just have a little f***ing grace.
Have
you ever heard of that?
I'm with you, but I want to know exactly what happened at that show.
Yeah, and it is we don't know, but that's not the point. We shouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's behind the scenes technical stuff. If something fucks up, just let it go. If you sit back and re-acknowledge it and re-acknowledge it and re-acknowledge it, it makes it 10,000 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, hey, dude, you're fucking done, and then just hire somebody else and move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just super classless and just kind of bums me the fuck out.
Dude, I feel where you're coming from, but I think, you know, and I hate to sound like I'm defending the guy. I kind of am a little bit. But, you know, I feel like a dude like that just gives
you're
so much of a
ologist
about his work and just, like, really, really cares about perfection. The guy's an absolute perfectionist.
Well, it's Christian Bale flew off the handle on that movie set that one time. You're in the heat of the moment.
Terminator.
I get that.
Yeah. But I think that his big downfall is not being able to say, okay, I need to cool down before I say or do anything about this. He's kind of a spur of the moment kind of guy. When anything non-perfect happens in his world, he just the switch flips. He can't even handle it.
It's also just a testament to like older dudes who don't really understand the power of technology.
Yeah.
Just kind of instantly jumping on there and being like, well, I've got this new resource.
Yeah.
The thing is that nobody in the rest of the world would have known that your show sucked in Brisbane.
Yeah.
But now we all do, and we all think you're a fucking douche. At least I think the douche factor, like on the scale of, you know, green to red,
yeah,
has gone towards the red just slightly more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Down the wrong hole, buddy.
Some of the spiciest horseradish I've ever tasted. Jesus Christ.
Was it out of
I gotta a say, packet? I love horseradish.
Did you suck it out of a packet this
time?
Yeah,
seriously. What the f***? I can't believe I witnessed you sucking horseradish out of a package.
I wonder what else he sucks out of packages.
Dude, if I have to... I can't put condiments on stuff, man. It just turns the beard into a big mess.
I can't put condoms on stuff.
Turns the beard into a big mess.
No, you guys are ass.
You sucked horseradish out of a packet.
You're an ass.
That make me an ass.
I don't know. Look at one and then say, like, do I look like that? Yeah, probably. Inside the asshole where the shit is.
Where the horseradish is.
Jesus Christ, man.
Hey, man, like, I love horseradish.
Inner ring,
but...
dude. With hemorrhoids.
Oh, God.
Bumpy horseradish.
Bumpy ass horseradish. Bleeding hemorrhoids.
This is why.
Rotten, f-ing bloody, shriveled, hey, heinous.
Leave it alone.
Green. Pulsing.
Is this going to be like last week's Brutal
Staff
Poetry
infected,
where you said like 19 times in a row?
Hey, calm down.
I'm
going to
have to
one
bleep
of
all of
I
them.
I caught every one of them.
I know. I was impressed. Well done. Speaking of, God damn it. I hate my life. All Shall Perish has a new lineup. There's no way to come out of that. Consisting of new members that are previous members. So they're like, hey, we're back to our old Back to the Future bitch. So Eddie Hermida is now back in All Shall Perish, and Ryan told me that he was pumped on that.
Yeah, man. I'm actually kind of stoked. You know, there's a lot of really, really awful bands in deathcore, and All Shall Perish is not one of them.
So he's still doing full-time stuff with Suicide Silence. That is the issue that drove the wedge between them, and he's back doing
Yo,
Suicide.
Bro, you can't be in both bands, bro.
Now he's doing both. He's doing All Shall Perish and Suicide Silence, and... that'd be funny if they did a tour together and he had to do vocals for both bands. That'd be pretty gnarly.
You're back,
like,
bro.
2 hours of...
Ghost is performing on The Late Show. We should probably just mention that.
Yeah, next Friday.
They're going to be on the 30th for the Halloween version because they're not on Saturday nights. So The Late Show with Stephen... I'm interested to see what Stephen Colbert says about Ghost.
The poster that
well, look at you.
The poster we're looking at for this is just great.
yeah, so later on this week we're going to have our full interview up with Ghost, and you should check out what one of the Nameless Ghouls has to say about being on The Late Show.
Nice. Metal Injection spoke with Brennan Small, the creator of Death Clock, Metalocalypse, and, you know, the Metalocalypse Now campaign. We talked a little bit about that, how it's now time for us to demand... the end, the final season of Metalocalypse. So on the idea of possible new Deathclock material, this is what Brennan Small had to say. I've got a hard drive full of stuff that I really like. Whether or not this happens, you're going to get new music. I divide up my day writing for future TV shows, writing stand-up, and writing music. It's really nice to toggle between those three things and go into my Pro Tools rig, use it like a sketch pad, circle my favorite things, and go, okay, this is starting to sound like a song. My rule is, if I like it a lot, I want other people to hear it. That's how every other Deathclock record has been. If I want to hear it, I put it out and hope other people feel the same way.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds like the way a good artist should do their thing.
Sounds like he has pretty cool days. He gets to work on TV shows, stand up, and metal.
That's
so
awesome.
That guy has won in life.
So speaking of TV shows, our friends in Theories are on.
Yeah, what the f?
They're on a sitcom, basically.
Hmm.
So
grind on a sitcom.
There's a show called You're the Worst, which is basically the show about a couple of people who are like city folk who are like in love with each other on and off, and basically Theories is in there. I haven't like seen it, but if you're playing Theories on a show, it's probably like some metal dude walks in, or like they knock on a door and someone opens it and they're blasting it in the background, or like, but yeah, they're in there, man. Theories is like one step closer in the six degrees of Kevin Bacon, which Kevin already won.
Exactly.
You'll never beat him.
In a very ironic news story, Victory Records has pulled their music from Spotify because Spotify's not properly paying the artist, yet Victory Records is guilty of doing the exact same thing for years and
years.
Yeah,
they weren't going to give it to the bands. They were just going to keep it. That's the only reason they give a
Tony Victory, and, you know, this is alleged.
Whatever.
Tony Victory has for years
Tony,
and years
yo.
Been screwing bands over merchandise fees, over record prices, over just, I mean, he's suing the ska band Streetlight Manifesto for over $1 million.
Hey, man, your pink logo, your band, your label.
Garbage.
Wow.
Whatever.
So it says Spotify also pulled down a large number of albums that Victory is not the publisher for, proving that their internal systems are inadequate. We ask that our catalog not be pulled, that we would amicably work with Spotify, and they haphazardly removed our content regardless. 53 million streams, as per Spotify's statements, were identified with no publishing royalties being paid by Spotify. 53 million. That's a lot of clicks.
Ryan, I'd like you to talk about this new one, because I believe you produced this record.
I had nothing to do with this record.
Oh, not this one? You did Old Un?
I did a demo back when I was at AI.
Ah,
it was like
okay.
The first thing
okay.
I recorded.
My bad.
There.
Sorry about that. But you are a big fan of Un.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're homies with them.
Yeah, no, I like those guys. The guys in Un are going to be releasing their debut album, The Tomb of All Things. And that's going to be... let's see, that's going to be coming out on Black Bow Records, the owner of which is John Davis of the doom band Conan.
Yes, heavy.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty stoked to hear this album. Monty's a good dude, and he's a great songwriter, so.
December 4th.
Good things. December 4th, man. Pick that stuff up.
Pick that shit up. Pick it up, pick it up.
Pick up change. Anthrax is going to be releasing the 30th anniversary of Spreading the Disease on November 20th.
Spread it.
Universal will will release it, and it is going to be a two-disc version of the CD with stuff that's live at Sun Plaza in Tokyo from 1987.
That's cool.
And also 1984 rhythm track tapes. So if you're an Anthrax completist, you want to hear some of their rare kind of... Early stuff. Definitely pick that up. 30 years, man.
That's cool. I would want to see Anthrax playing Tokyo in the late 80s.
That'd be badass.
Yeah, man. So speaking of older and awesome bands, on a sad note, Frank Watkins, formerly of Obituary and currently of Gorgoroth, just passed away at the age of 47 after a long battle with cancer. This is kind of a really, really sad thing and just hammers home the importance of going out, getting a doctor's checkup every now and then.
Right.
Keeping an eye on yourself and loved ones, man.
Absolutely.
Cancer's no joke.
Obituary, a solid band.
And he was in it from the beginning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So our thoughts and our condolences to his family and his friends and his bands.
Worl Dane just did an interview talking about why he doesn't hit the same high-pitched screams as he used to, and I feel like that's like a self-explanatory thing. It's like, I'm not 21 years old anymore, you know? That would probably be the first thing I'd say. But he said, there's some in there, but it's not 1988 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little more mature, so I focus on my strengths now. I can still sing the high notes, but I'm more comfortable with the mid-range kind of tough guy thing
right now.
You always have to focus on your solid parts. So, yeah, I mean, play to your strengths.
That's true. All right. Should Black Sabbath play its final shows without Bill Ward? There was an article on Blabbermouth this week with members of Megadeth, Testament, and other bands that were weighing in on it, and I don't know. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Well, should we play this?
Sure.
Let's just play this. I think it's worth listening to.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I mean,
Mike Portnoy.
I don't know what's going on with metal bands and their original drummers, like Sabbath and Billboard, Slayer and Dave Lombardo, and Slipknot without Joey Jordison, and AC/DC without Phil Rudd.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say that.
I think it's Dave Ellison. That Bill Ward is not part of these final Sabbath shows. However, you know, when people depart from groups, and his departure was many, many years ago, I know from experience that their departures happen for a reason, either for personality reasons, sometimes there's health reasons, and sometimes putting things back together today is never going to be the same as it was back then.
I love Ozzy and Geezer and Tony, and we're both huge Sabbath fans, but I mean, I understand if you can't go on without Bill for whatever reason, then whatever, understandable. But don't call it a reunion. Don't call it the original lineup if there's somebody missing.
Let me ask you a question. Can I interview you for a minute?
Sure.
Back in, 5-6 years ago when they reformed with Ronnie, would you rather them keep the name Black Sabbath, or were you okay with the name Heaven and Hell?
It should have been Black Sabbath.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a lineup of Black Sabbath that existed.
And so if it can't come together and everybody really feel it in the room, either musically or just as a brotherhood, then it's better to leave it alone and let everybody have the memory of what was great back in a previous glory day. Don't taint that glory by trying to force a reunion to happen.
See, that pissed me off when they changed their name, because I love those Dio records with Sabbath book.
I'm just showing my shoes. I happen to be wearing Sabbath sneakers.
I don't really understand it.
Alex Skolnick.
You know, he was back for a while. I remember the Ozfest shows, so you know, a little over 10 years ago.
I mean, I love Bill Ward, and he should be there for, you know, whatever. If there's physical reasons that he can't be there, then okay, that's understandable. But if it's strictly a financial thing, that's inexcusable.
Maybe things weren't perfect. You know, I know the musical thing has been brought up. Can he still play like he used to? Well, no, he doesn't have to play like he used to, as long as, you know, it still feels like Black Sabbath. And at least at that time, it did.
Bill Ward swings, man. He was, you know, I've been in Sabbath mode the last few weeks, learning and studying and, you know, listening and being playing bass to that stuff. You know, I'm picking up things that I never picked up before that Bill Ward's doing. It's like, shit, man, this dude's no joke, man. He's a swing. He's a jazz drummer.
Yeah, totally.
He's a jazz drummer in a hard rock band. And he's doing things, man, which is amazing. That can't be replicated because it's all feel.
Yeah, as long as it could be played at least on that level, then he should be there. If not, and you know, we'll never know this, then I, you know, just purely on a musical level, I could understand.
For me, would I like to see Bill there? Absolutely. But I'm a huge, huge Sabbath fan. So if I'm up front watching Tony and Geezer, I'm cool. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, three out of four is better than none. But we'd love to see 4 out of 4. What's up? This is Mike Portnoy.
This is Alex Skolnick.
I'm David Ellison.
Mark Menge.
And we are
Metal Allegiance.
Subscribe to Louder Noise.
The loudest noise.
Yeah, okay, you get the point. So, what do you guys think?
I think they kind of said everything that I would really have to say about it. They kind of presented both sides of the argument. I really agree with Portnoy about how, you know, if it's a physical thing...
Yeah, but
then by all means. But if it's a financial thing,
Bill Ward
that's ridiculous.
Has come out several times, mm-hmm. even in just the last couple months, and said, "I've never had a problem playing these songs. Mm-hmm. I've never had a health problem that stopped me from being in this band."
Yeah,
like, and he's the only one that's going to say that, because of course nobody else. If it is a financial thing, they're just going to be like, "Yeah, he can't play the songs."
Yeah,
and he's sitting there going, "Yes, I can."
You know, I think the strongest thing that he could do is put out a videotape of him sitting in the studio playing along to all the songs.
Yeah.
And say, hey, check this out. One shot.
I'm good.
Here's me playing the whole
set. Here's this song that I wrote the drum part to.
Yeah, here's me playing the entire set just like I've been able to this entire time. I think that would be the biggest statement he could possibly make. He doesn't even have to say anything in the video. He'd just be like, here's me playing Black Sabbath's current set list in its entirety.
I think it's a bummer. I think it's a bummer that they are photoshopping picture like OG pictures of Black Sabbath,
right,
just taking him out of it.
because that's it fits their current awkward. Their yeah. like current image. It's like, oh yeah, 40 plus years of like
that's messed
music
up.
History. Yeah, it's just unfortunate, man. It's one of those things where it's like being in a band is like being in a marriage, and the more people you have in it, and the longer you're in it, the more complicated things pop up. There's a lot of history there. They probably all still love each other, but they somewhere along the line, like money came into it. Mm-hmm. Money is the root of all evil, dude. So
it's also the root of me getting some sweet sneakers.
Or Jim Root getting his guitar stolen because somebody was trying to sell it.
Motherfucker.
Weak.
So, apparently this last Thursday, a guitar belonging to Jim Root was stolen from the band's jam room at the Memorial Coliseum in Portland, Oregon. So keep your eyes out down in Portland. The thief made off with Root's custom satin silver Fender with a patina copper pick guard, causing the guitarist to write on Instagram, "Fucking thieves, nothing worse." And he's right. People who steal instruments have a very special compartment in hell set aside for them.
That's bullshit.
One thing I do want to add to this, his girlfriend, Christina Scabia of Lacuna Coil, posted a picture of the guitar, and more importantly, of the back of the headstock with the serial number of the guitar.
Yeah.
To help in the search. And so this is actually a really, really smart thing, and I wish more people would do that.
The same thing with all of my guns, my guitars.
Take
everything.
Pictures of the serial numbers. Just writing them down is helpful, but if you have a picture of the instrument itself with that serial number, that can do a lot of good in case something gets stolen, man. And it can go light years for helping proving that it's yours.
In any pawn shop, yeah, they'll run it past and
yeah. Yeah, man. So
it'll pop up.
Be stolen. Be smart. Takes 5 minutes. Take
Yo, this shit is stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hot guitar. And it's pretty recognizable. It's like, what do you, like, literally the only thing you could do with that guitar is keep it in your own, like, room for the rest of your life. Or, like, sell it 30 years
You're
down the road.
You're about to die, bro.
Like,
if
you can't sell
bring
it.
That out.
The way the internet works these days, you just get roasted, dude.
For
if
sure.
Anybody found out who you were? Be over for
Slipknot
you.
Maggots would come for you.
The maggots
would come for you. Judas Priest gonna be releasing Painkiller 25th anniversary. Get this 10-inch die cut buzzsaw EP.
Sweet.
For Record Store Day. Record Store Day, obviously a big deal these days, as record stores kind of seem to be dying left and right. Record Store Day becomes a cooler thing. Every year, they have one specific day where I worked at a record store. I worked at Silver Platter for a long time, and the one day of the year where we would have people lining up literally before we got there, it was fucking crazy. We would serve popcorn because there were so many fools coming in, and it's always because they have the most limited edition vinyl on that day, you know. And they have released like the new Nirvana like reissues and all that. But it's cool they're doing something metal, and Judas Priest is going to be doing a 10-inch die-cut buzzsaw EP.
I want that. I just want to put it in a frame.
Yeah, that'll be cool as f***.
We already talked about Chris Adler and the Megadeth thing. Let's see. Oh, so, there's so many, like, big reunions every year now. It's like, oh, this record turned 20, this record turned 30, this band turned f***ing 50. You
every
know?
5 years.
Yeah. So Stormtroopers of Death are reissuing Speak English or Die. Coming out in November.
Nice.
Very cool record.
Obviously, members of Anthrax and other bands. So, SOD, New York band from 1985. Very influential. So, you will be able to get that in November for the first time in a long time on vinyl.
My favorite SOD song is Kill Yourself, Kill Yourself. Why don't you just kill yourself?
Nice. Yeah, they were super politically incorrect, too, talking about.
Oh, yeah. Like, they would not be around in 2015. At least they wouldn't.
The PC police would be all over that.
PC principal. That's
probably...
It's 2015 pulling you over.
That's probably why they don't play any shows.
That's true.
Can't sing those songs, man. Lemmy. Still around.
He's
still being a fucking badass.
He's still here.
Completed the Motorboat 2015. Several of our friends were in on that one. Apparently, he's going to be receiving a Bass Player Lifetime Achievement Award at the Bass Player Live All-Star Concert on November 7th. I didn't know that was a thing, and I wish that was on TV because I would watch it so hard. Bass players are totally underrated, especially dudes like Lemmy, who was like a frontman bass player.
Yeah,
at
dude.
A time where that wasn't hugely popular. I mean, like Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy was doing it. I guess Sting was doing it.
The dude from Raven.
Yeah. So
I don't know. You know, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you play any kind of instrument, I challenge you to play any song, even a song you know well, and try to sing along as you're playing.
Yeah.
Like just
with any song.
Just to with any song. Just to wrap your head around how ridiculously difficult that is. And it really makes you appreciate just how well you have every single note on your instrument down to be able to do the singing on top of it.
They asked him if there was an album or a tour cycle that was the most rewarding or enjoyable for him in the 4-decade history of Motorhead. And he says, I don't know. I can't remember all of them. I love you, Lemmy.
Nice.
I love you. Hearts for you. Never go away.
Would have been better if you would have just said, I don't know. They're all f***ed.
F***ed. Nice.
How's your legs?
Glenn Danzig, another old dude, was all over the news this week, and he was including TMZ.com. Danzig has been involved in several scandals of the violent kind lately. He's well known for hating people taking video or footage of him.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
So if you go to a Danzig show, there's always a sign out front that says no footage available, no cameras allowed.
And they enforce it.
Like, absolutely.
I was like deep in the crowd. Like 10 rows in, and like I had my phone up, and somebody saw me, and they put the flashlight right in my face.
Yep.
And I was just like, seriously? And they read my lips, and they're like,
seriously.
Yes. And I was like,
you're going down,
fine.
Bro.
I'm not trying to be this dude on TMZ right now.
Yeah, a friend of mine who was working down there told me they had a big staff meeting before the Danzig show,
God.
And the tour manager came in and basically said, if you see Danzig in the hall, if you're around if you're around Glenn, whatever happens, don't make eye contact. Don't speak to him. Don't make eye contact. You have no communication with Glenn, no matter what happens.
Cool.
If he talks to you, you say yes, sir, and you do what he asks.
Jesus.
That's very strange. We've met Danzig a couple times.
He was cool to us.
Yeah,
but
he was totally cool to us.
I don't know.
Well, you're radio people.
That's
true. He's
got
to be nice to us. Yeah, exactly. But we're still here talking about it now, so I don't really know how much difference that makes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, a couple months ago, this dude got in his face and got his ass punched and choked for good reason. There was a dude being a shitty camera guy all in Danzig's face after the show, right outside his bus. So yeah, you should get punched for that because you're being a piece of shit. But this guy apparently his story was that they called him on stage. They like called him up on stage,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And then they pulled him off to the side and out the door, and they beat the fucking shit out of him. Somehow they let him back in, and then they do the same thing. Come over here, man. It's all good. Blah blah blah. And then they go outside and do it again. And Danzig jumps in and starts throwing punches and shit like that. So the cops are investigating it. Like it's an actual. Oh, you're on TMZ, man. It's the only reason Danzig would ever be on TMZ. It's like. Punching somebody or getting punched. It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
No, Danzig, and then he announced also this week, we should also mention.
Yes.
He's retiring from touring.
He's donezo because he's tired of being in the news. He doesn't want to keep, you know, having to be the tough guy and beating motherfuckers up.
See, the thing is, though, Danzig, you're going to have to keep touring, dude. You're going to get a year in and be like,
that's the thing is because he's not going to be touring, he's going to get all these high price offers overseas.
Yeah.
And then he's going to play a few off shows. So he'll play like 5 shows a year and he'll get a load of money for him. And that's the way it's going to be,
and
man.
He'll be living in his brick house with his Miata.
Yeah.
Fair enough. With his cats.
He'll do the same thing Twisted Sister does. There was a interview with Dee Snider where he said, yeah, we only play 4 shows a year.
Huh.
And that's it.
And we do just fine.
And they're big fans.
We play 4 to 6 shows a year.
And then they sell their rights to their songs to Donald Trump so he can use it in his campaign.
God damn it. Good. I forgot about that. Son of a bitch. So fucked up.
Lame.
Whatever. We all know what they're in it for. This is metal we're talking about. Remember Brian Posehn's, one of his most famous quotes is, Making metal is money. Or making money is metal. Same thing.
I wish either it was the other way around. I wish making metal was money.
It was, yeah. When he was asked, why are you performing at the Gathering of the Juggalos?
It's like, because getting paid is metal is
Because that's metal, dude. You're like, oh, it's not punk. This is metal, dude.
Yeah.
You don't have any punk points you need to worry about.
Punk.
He's like, I'm Dee Snider. I wrote one good song, and I'm going to live the rest of my life off of it.
Some pretty good. I know.
I'm just saying.
And he shut down, God, who was it?
Tipper Gore.
Yeah, he shut down Tipper Gore, man.
Somebody had to do it. Stuffy old bitch.
Either way, good times.
All right, we served you up with the news for the week, and it's about time that we slow things down and enter the Metal Shop Brutal Poetry Lounge. This week, Kevin is reciting a particularly heinous passage from Broken Hope's Decimated Genitalia off of the Bowels of Repugnance from 1993. Kevin, take it away.
Scrotum nailed to the block. Testicles obliterated by ball-peen hammer.
Oh, Jesus, dude!
Labia stitched shut. Blood runs from suture. Clitoris removed with a yank of a hook. Vulva and suprabic region pulverized by sledgehammer blow. To the cervix with razor wire dowel. Internally ripped, chewed, ground, and sliced. Queefs, vaginal blood hunks, unevenly diced. Long needle rod, barbed on the end. Thrust deep down the corpora cavernosa. A turn, a pull, and out comes the works. Scrotum pulled through and turned inside out. Piercing screams of grinding groins. Mutilation of the purest loins. Manhood removed in women's Venus. Genitals in carnage, be it vagina or penis. Excruciating pain. Castration would be better. The pleasure of orgasm never known. Infected needle broken in balls, and thus, later, about to he ejaculates pus. Vaginoplasty for each appalling tear, mangled twats beyond repair. Genitortuary core pulverized with malice, obliterated genitals, vagina, and phallus. Genitortured reproductive organs decimated, sickeningly forced or self-immolated, genitals never again as they were, hacked up crotches resemble bloody hamburger. Wow. How's that feel, guys? How's that feel?
And they were worried about Judas Priest 25 years ago.
Hamburger. Eat it.
I love it.
All right.
I'm going to finish my sandwich.
We're going to end with two songs acoustic by Ghost here in the studio. You can check out the video on KISW.com to go along with the audio. But the songs were so good. The audio turned out so nice. We wanted to add this as the kind of accompaniment piece for episode 74.
It's accompaniment. All right. See you guys again next week. Thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Decimated genitalia.
A 1, 2, 3. the daughters of man, destroying all and make them want it again. I am the sunless Servius.
Check it.
Song written by a Texan whose name is Rock Erickson. If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. You can say anything you want, and you can do anything you want to do. If you have ghosts, you have everything. One never does that. One never does that. It's surprise that it is, and a part of me is me. One never does that. In the night, I am real. In the night, I am real. The moon to the left is a part of me. And a part of me is me. In the night, I am real.
a part of my thoughts and a part of me is me. Wherever is the wind, I don't want my thanks too long. If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts,
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.